Oh, I love that song. And listen, this is not the end of everything. It is just growing pains. So my name is Brian, and we're still live in the studio here. We're recording for February 11th, year 2021. Now, if we don't get it posted on the 11th, it's going to be on the 12th. Okay, so I was told that my last segment was like 45 minutes. Maybe they're going to cut it down. I don't know. But I mean, they like to do everything in a perfectionist way, not too perfectionist, because if they did it too perfectionist, they would be happy, because I've never met a person who is a true perfectionist who is really happy. So I don't want to follow that path. That's for sure. So here we're on a fourth segment. And how do I say this? You just have to be able to think outside the box with me. That's it. And then eventually, as you think outside the box and you continue to listen, because folks, I plan to be here for at least another 20, 25 years, okay? A long time. So I need you to be with me, at least most of you. And I want to help you prepare for your next incarnation. And if there's anyone out there, if you're a scientist or you're a medical research group, or your group of doctors that get together on a Saturday just to discuss science, invite me along. I'd like to understand what you're doing. And maybe I can add some value to your groups. So maybe when this COVID's all over, we can do something like this. So food gene programming for Canadians. It's actually for the world for most of it, but no, Canadians. It says Canadians. I'm just corrected, okay? So point number one. Frying with olive oil. My gosh, did I get a punch to the side? I went deeper, and my spiritual gifts, my access to science is unbelievable. And for example, I fry with olive oil. I love to fry with olive oil, the vegetables, my eggs, seafood, you name it. Now I've been told I'm causing problems with my health if I continue when I use olive oil to fry. And I thought it was the opposite. I really thought that it was okay. And then I discerned that all Canadians have a gene that says don't use olive oil to fry. And I go, oh my gosh. So one of the things that I've got to do is we've developed a positive and negative charge test for pharmaceutical drugs, for food, etc., etc., etc. So now I have to go and I have to basically fry food in olive oil. Then take that olive oil after it's cooled down, and I have to see if it's got a positive charge. Because what I'm told is when you fry the olive oil, it causes a positive charge to take place in your digestive system, which is not what you want. You want it to create a negative charge. And by raising the temperature of the olive oil, it does something to the charge. We're supposed to have the olive oil at room temperature. That's what we're supposed to do. And then I'm discerning more, and we're just looking in the last 50 years, bypass surgeries, one of the main factors of clogging up of the arteries, I've discerned, has been frying olive oil, heating the temperature up, using olive oil to fry different foods. This has, again, contributed to many triple bypass surgeries. So I'm not going to use olive oil to fry my foods. What I'm going to do is I'm going to use the olive oil in my salads and to dip it with the bread. I'm going to have the olive oil as a dip. And I've discerned years ago that it's better for you to take bread and dip it in olive oil. It's healthier for you at room temperature. So there you go. You can take it or leave it. But the problem is, when you take olive oil and your genes say you're not supposed to use it to fry, and you do that, it's going to create a different chemical reaction in your body over time, which you may not necessarily notice over time, but something will happen where you may need surgery. So, I mean, it's scary. And I had no idea. I thought it was okay. But because my gifts has just widened up, that's how I'm going to eat from now on, and I'm going to have my family eat this way. So, number two, frying with butter. Oh, my gosh. Chef Gordon Ramsay, you're not going to like me today because you love to use butter and mix it with your oil. You love to do that and fry that beautiful seafood, fish, whatever. I want to say I love you very much, and I love your program, The Uncharted Ramsey. Folks, go to, I think it's Prime Video, and go and watch his series. It's very good. Very, very good. So, butter is a big problem. So all Canadians have a gene not to use butter to fry. Here we go. And I won't be doing this anymore because I want to live way past my 80s. What does it do again? When you fry the butter, it changes the charge and it creates a positive charge in your digestive system, which you don't want. You don't want to eat any foods that create a positive charge. Even some of the smoothies out there that you are taking, you're thinking the smoothie is healthy for you, but it's not. Many of them have a positive charge. It's mixing the right ingredients together that you have a negative charge. And I'm going to help you with that down the road. If I get the green light to give you recipes, I'm going to do it. I'm going to give you a good negative charge smoothie that will be healthy for you. And when it's negative charge, it means that you can lose weight. If it's positive charge, it's going to cause you to gain weight.
Wow.
And so the olive oil can cause your arteries to be clogged up. The butter, oh boy, this is like a doozy. And I'm definitely not going to use butter to fry anymore. It shuts down the pancreatic stem cell, which when that's shut down, it can trigger diabetes. But more importantly, most people believe that diabetes starts from the pancreas. It's triggered from the pancreas. That's not true. It starts in your kidneys. That's where diabetes starts. And I know I'm going to have to do a show on this, but when I get the green light, I will do it to the best of my ability. Everything's to the best of my ability. Hey, listen, people at work, you have bosses, and your boss says to you, can you have that report on my desk tomorrow morning? You have to say, yes, I will, to the best of my ability. Because if you don't say that, that report's not on the desk. You give your boss permission to abuse you. But if you say to the best of your ability, you don't give your boss permission to abuse you. Keep that in mind. And so with respect to your kidneys and your pancreas, don't use butter and fry with it. We're talking cow's butter. Don't do it. You know, save your pancreas, save your kidneys. This is not a typical type of type 2 diabetes. It's more like a type 3 diabetes triggered by environmental reactions, interactions. Okay, so the third point, really amazing. So what are the good cooking oils for frying? Now, the first thing I got to say, when you have regional diabetes around the world, it could be because of different reasons. Not necessarily the same reasons, but it's all connected to one thing, one common thing, which are your genes, your gene program. And so, for example, there is something that is called ghee. And so the people of India, Asia, but mostly India, they fry with ghee. And so, for the most part, it's good for the people of India to use ghee. But what I need to do is understand this more. I really need to understand this more because people from India and Canada, there's a high rate of diabetes. A huge high rate of diabetes. I have to take a look at how they cook. And I got to see what's causing their diabetes. But when I look at the gene programming and I study Canadians using my gift of discernment, 20% of Canadians have an active gene to use canola oil for frying. And that should be non-GMO. If it's not non-GMO, don't go near it. And I have to look at that. So when there's an advertisement saying that, hey, use canola oil, and the advertisement assumes that everybody can take it. But my discernment says that's not true. And I'm going to go with my discernment. I believe the reason why we have so many different oils is basically to accommodate so many different races, which have so many different genes. So I've learned that 20% of all Canadians have an active gene to use canola oil for frying. And that should be non-GMO. If it's not non-GMO, don't go near it. But I have to do more research on this. I'm just trying to convey to you that not all oils are safe for all of us coming into one melting pot, a population melting pot, and saying that it's safe for everyone. It's not true. So you have to go with your own intuition. Your gene that you have that's active will tell you. But sometimes it doesn't. And we'll get to that down the road. But coconut oil can be used basically by most people, by everyone. Maybe 95%. I always have to say less than 100% because there's always one that will come up to me and says, I've got an allergy to coconut oil. Okay, okay. But coconut oil for frying is a lot safer than using olive oil. So I'm now going to use coconut oil for frying, and I have been. But again, I have to spend more time, and particularly I want to find out what disease states take place through certain races if they have an oil where their gene program says they're not supposed to have. So leave that with me. Okay, fourth point, Asians, peanut oil. I've discerned 90% of all Asians have an active gene so they can use peanut oil. This is Asians. We're not talking about Caucasians. We're talking Asians. And 90% of all Asians have an active gene to fry with palm oil. So you may see palm oil on the store shelf and you're not Asian. It doesn't mean it's going to be good for you. But if an Asian buys palm oil, in most cases, it's going to be safe. Again, the safety of oils is based on human genetics. You have to go again with your own intuition and do not accept at face value radio, TV, magazine, commercials, advertisements, etc. Don't accept it at face value, even though they say they have a clinical trial. Don't accept it. You have to take a look at your own culture, your own ethnic culture, and learn from your grandmother. Learn how your grandmother uses oils. And you have to go back to old school. This is a totally different twist, but I'm saying this because I want to help you. Okay, the fifth point, white refined sugar. Here we go. All Canadians have an active gene that says eating refined white sugar is not, what am I trying to say, is not, did you say it, safe? It really isn't. It really is not safe. And so you have to take a look at that and realize that if you've got a gene that says eating refined sugar is not safe, then you go and on a continual basis you're eating refined sugar, it's going to cause some sort of health problem for you down the road. But all Canadians have an active gene, for the most part, that says honey is safe. And I love honey. But don't go and buy that processed honey that's not really honey. Buy honey from your local farmer or from a store that you trust, and you're getting real honey. You're getting real honey. But I'm going to have to do more research on this. If I can get people from taking this refined sugar, particularly the sugar that people put in their coffees, oh my gosh. I know this one person, they put between 5 and 6 sugars in their coffee and 4 servings of milk. My gosh, terrible. And they're going to have a health problem down the road if they don't correct. Don't follow that path. So let me help you. The sixth point, how do you know you are eating something that will do you harm over time? That's what you need to know, right? And once you understand this, then you can watch out for the signs. The first response to the question, well, is experience. What would you experience? Immediate severe reaction, i.e. some people have a peanut allergy, peanut oil, peanuts, research, whatever. Then they have it, and they're now choking, and they can't breathe. That's an example. Okay? So once you have that experience, you realize you have to walk around with an EpiPen or something like that. You've got to have that with you. I mean, that's one way. Now, another way that really sneaks up on you, it's very tricky, is when you crave something a lot, when you're addicted to a certain type of food. If you're drinking 2-3 glasses of milk every day, or even 1 big glass of milk plus ice cream and all that stuff, this is saying to you that you need to stop. Because if you don't stop, you can end up getting diabetes or something like that, some disease. And that's why you need to pay attention, because usually what you have an allergy to, you usually crave that allergy. And so you have to pay attention to the foods that you crave. If you got to have sugar all the time, there is an issue. There is a potential serious illness coming your way down the road if you continue this and you don't clear it up. And it can be cleared up. 100% it can be cleared up. You just need to go on a path of spiritual commitment. Otherwise, if you don't do it, It's going to be the treadmill. Every incarnation you're going to come in, have the same food behavior, and face the same disease. Another clue is when you eat something, and after you eat the food, you're coughing a lot. You have milk, for example, you cough, cough, cough. All the time you have an ice cream, you cough, cough. Whatever that food is, identify it and get it out of your system. Walk away from it. That's how you know. You can do this if you love yourself. And if you don't love yourself, you need to go on a spiritual path. And you need to get lifted off you, whatever's on you that causes you not to love yourself. You want to become a Nancy. Number 7, let's talk about food. You can't lose weight. Jeez, this reminds me of me now. Oh my gosh. I lost 31 pounds. 31 pounds this morning. And I feel a lot better. And my wife says I don't snore anymore. That's kind of nice. It's really nice. Snoring's not a good thing. But when you take a look at why one can't lose weight, there's something that most people have. And I had this from another incarnation. And basically, the reason why I had this, it had more to do with me agreeing to take on someone's karma. And I forgave them. And I took on their shame and their guilt. I've since then got rid of it. And what I had was a self-victim obesity gene just because I forgave somebody. And then on top of that, what I learned is that the self-victim obesity gene is the primary reason why someone has what is called the yo-yo diet. The number one reason. They have the yo-yo diet because they're taking on someone else's karma. And I went, oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. And another reason is where you're cursed by others. I also had that. I had someone who cursed me who didn't want me to be successful because they knew that if I was overweight, I would not be accepted by the media. And I know they will be upset when they hear I've lost 31 pounds and I'm on my way to 40. And it's coming off very, very easy. That was one of my major personal hang-ups, was the fact that I had this extra weight. And I tried, I tried, I tried. Then one day it was revealed to me who was doing this to me and why. And I got it lifted off me. Folks, it feels good. It really does feel good. Okay, so here we go. Being cursed by others, this curse stuff is really serious. It's really, really serious. Again, I spoke when we interviewed Nancy, the curse in Romania, every human being born in Romania has an active gene that says they're cursed. Everyone. Then on top of that, there's another layer of curses against the government that says if you bring any harm against the people of Romania, you're in big trouble. Wow. These curses are for real. It's not a joke. It is not a joke. When I met Sam Mitchell, the former coach of the Toronto Raptors was cursed so badly, so badly. And I agreed to work with Sam. And that same year that I worked with Sam, he was voted the best improved coach of his Eastern Division. Prior to that, they were doing badly. They were doing badly. It's because I went to the father. I said, Father, can you lift the curse off the Raptors? And he did. He did. That's another reason why the Raptors did so well with me working with Sam Mitchell. And Mike Evans. You know, Mike, miss you, man. Let's talk soon. He's a good man. Sam's a good man. But it's true. That happened. But we go back to this metaphor, Lucifer gene. You could have a Lucifer gene that says you got bad karma to go through, you can't lose weight. That one sucks. Because I know what it's like to have extra weight where it's very difficult for you to go up the stairs. I had a tough time going up the stairs. Now I'm like a spring chicken. I can just go up the stairs, no problem. It makes a big difference. It makes a difference on how you treat yourself and how others view you and others treat you better. That's what I've found since I've lost the 31 pounds now. Even my dogs treat me better. They want to sit around me. They're going, woof, woof, woof. They're saying, hey, you lost weight. I love you more. It's amazing. It's just incredible. It feels so good. And I like to start some sort of group down the road, get maybe 10 people who have had problems all their life losing weight and who does not have the Lucifer gene, and diarize the events and let the public know the truth and get these people off the yo-yo-yo-yo diet. Off! Go, yo-yo! That's where we got to be. So, eighth, mental illness. Jeez, I hope they're not talking about me. Here we go. Mental illness plays a big role in your destructive food behaviors. It does. So part of the issue of losing weight could also be because you've got some mental illness condition. And I say this with respect. Depression is a bad one. You know, makes you crave the sugars. It's just horrible. And you just eat, 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 eat. And the issue around the sugars has nothing to do with this incarnation. It has more to do with another incarnation, which you have a memory of, but it's not connected to you. The real who you are is not on you telling you what the truth. But I've got access to all your files. I can tell you in 5 minutes why you crave sugar. And this also includes alcohol. A lot of people who have depression, they go into alcohol and they go into other drugs, whatever. It's mostly the sugars and the alcohol. And so for someone to be able to lose weight, they have to be able to, if it's connected, get rid of their depression. And then their anxiety. Well, this not really connected to food. It's more connected to doing dangerous behavior acts. That's what it's mostly connected to, anxiety. Maybe you felt another incarnation that you were responsible for one of your children having a car accident. So you say to yourself, okay, I got to come into this incarnation. I have to set up a similar car accident. But you say this on the subconscious level, but you don't know that. Then one day you have the car accident. But leading up to the car accident, you have anxiety. And like Nancy, that can be lifted. The bipolar, this is the bad boy, the bad girl. This is the one that unknowingly to you, or maybe you do know, wants you to commit suicide. And if you don't have the Lucifer gene, that can be lifted. But that's a bad one. The bipolar. I had another client who came and saw me years ago. But she saw me in the last 2 years prior to COVID. And she looked at me and she says, thank you for helping me. You got rid of my bipolar. And I didn't realize because she just left. I didn't check. I didn't check on her and see how she's doing. But I remember she was going through a tough time with bipolar. And I do thank this one that came in and saw me and thanked me. There's a lot of people who have been healed, but they never called me or they never sent me a card saying thank you. That would be nice. That would be wonderful. Okay, here we go. Ninth point. Our genes. Okay, so we're going to just wrap it up very, very shortly here. So our genes are our life script at that moment. So just because you have a suicide gene that's active, it doesn't mean you have to kill yourself. However, if you've got a Lucifer gene, that's going to be a tough one for me to deal with because I have to go to the spiritual council and they have to approve it. And there's a lot involved in getting that energy lifted off you. Also, there's a lot of respect that people have to have when something like that is lifted off them. It's a tall order for a lot of people to have respect when they've been given a blessing where they are healed from getting some horrible disease, whether it's cancer, whether it's something else, and then they don't respect it. And they take that healing and they just throw it away. And then it comes back or comes into their system for the first time. That's why it's difficult, because it's difficult to find a lot of people who have respect for God, for Christ, for the council, for me, the work that I'm doing. It's very difficult. But the people who truly believe, have respect, they are the ones that get the actual benefit. And I wish I could say 7 billion people can get the actual benefit. But I know that's not true. So let me say by closing that it's been a very tough time for me in the last 2 or 3 months. And I'm still recovering from something, but I'm doing well. Although I've lost a lot of weight, I plan to lose again another 40. And I'm paying attention to my health, particularly over the next 60 days. And I've gone through a rough ride. And those who have been with me that have supported me, thank you very much. I love all of you. And many of you who have called me to tell me how much you love me, thank you. It means a lot to me. Hey, Mary from Chicago, thank you very much for that phone call the other day. It really made my day that you've been listening to me for so many years, you know, 15 years plus. It made me feel good. And, of course, the many other people who have called me and cried, they cried on the phone, and they said, I just had a thought that you may be dying. And I had so many of those calls, and I say, Father, do they know something I don't know? But they were right, because I had to do some emergency healings on myself. And if I hadn't done that, I wouldn't be here today. And so I want to thank all of you who warned me of something. Thank you very much. You know who I'm talking about. And I'm looking forward to the future. I'm really looking forward to the future. And I'm looking forward to being with you and you being with me. So once again, thank you very much. And my name is Brian. And we're going to do a broadcast next week. It may not be four segments, but I just wanted to keep you busy over the next week. So hopefully that should keep you out of trouble. Once again, my name is Brian, and you're listening to Clarity Radio. Thank you, and may God give you many, many, many blessings. Thank you.
I sit away. There's an angel contemplate my fate. Do they know the places where we go when we're gray and old? 'Cause I have been told that salvation lets their wings unfold. So when I'm lying in my bed, thoughts running through my head, and I feel that love is dead, I'm loving angels instead. And through it, forsake me. I'm loving angels instead. When I'm feeling weak and my pain walks down a one-way street, I look above and I know grows.
forsake me. I'm loving angels instead.